Perched high on a mountain in the Cairngorms, the scientists of the Mount McKibber Observatory guard us against alien invasion. Their mission: to watch the skies. Episode 5, Struth or Fiction?
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist personal log. All morning there have been strange noises from the telescope dome, and lights have been flickering all over the building. And now all those vintage computers in the control room have gone down, even the Atari 500. So much for all those saved games of asteroids. Stinger should have kick-started them all by now, but there's no sign of him. So here I am, outside his office, about to give him a piece of my mind. Stinger, Earth's defences and the coffee machine are all offline. Shouldn't you be replacing a fuse or something? Stinger? Stinger, are you having a nap under your desk again?
Doogie, you simply must sort out all this whizzle-wazzle with the power supply. I'm only halfway through doing my hair and look at the state of it. Even Helena Bonham Carter wouldn't go around looking like this. Ah, Daisy, what have you done with Doogie?
Nothing, Annabelle. He seems to have disappeared.
You did check under his desk?
Of course.
Then where could he be? It's not like him to go wandering off. I doubt he could find his way to the front door without a GPS, Google Maps and some Sherpas.
I'm worried, Annabelle. He's too lazy to go missing of his own free will.
Oh, Daisy, you seem surprisingly upset about losing Doogie. I mean, it's not like he adds much to the place.
No, but he is the only person around here who can keep those ancient computers running. And he's the only one who ever calls me Poppy.
Whatever are you talking about, Daisy?
Exactly my point, Annabelle.
Oh, sorry, Daisy, you've lost me completely. Look, let's just concentrate on finding Doogie. I have a real hair emergency going on here.
Right, we'll split up and search for him. If he doesn't turn up in the next 10 minutes, I'll meet you in Professor Stroop's office for a crisis meeting.
Good idea. It is Hadrian's responsibility, after all. Plus, I spotted him coming back from the village with a box of chocolate eclairs.
Watch the skies!
Professor Sproot, we have a critical situation.
It's not Mrs. Sproot, is it? I could have sworn she was in a balloon over the Andes in pursuit of the giant condor.
It's Doogie, Hadrian. He's gone missing.
Really? Why, that's terrible. We must initiate a code red hard target search. Who is Doogie?
Stinger, Professor Sproot. Stinger has vanished without a trace.
By the yodeling yaks of Jotunheim, are you saying that two chaps have disappeared? The situation grows worse by the second.
Professor, it's Douglas Stinger.
Exactly. But do I know either one of them?
Doogie! Remember, he used to be the new chap.
Oh, of course. The fellow in the T-shirt that says, I don't have to be crazy to work here, I just am anyway. This is damned inconvenient. I need him to retune my portable radio.
Oh, Professor, you're not listening to Kiss FM again, are you?
No, to pick up Gardner's Question Time. I want to hear if they read out my letter on controlling slug infestations by using high-energy microwave pulses from solar-powered satellites.
Wouldn't that be a bit dangerous?
Well, some degree of collateral damage is inevitable, but damn, I hate slugs! Unfortunately, Ron's up to something in the dome that's swamping my radio reception with static, which would certainly be an improvement on the Radio 4 afternoon play, but otherwise is dreadfully inconvenient.
Do you suppose Ron might also be causing this strange nimbus of blue light that's suddenly surrounding us?
Hmm. That's a theory worth considering. Indeed, I might speculate that...
Oh, it's stopped now.
Just as I was getting warmed up.
Oh, do you know what I think is behind all this?
Oh no, Daisy, please don't say it.
Aliens! I'll bet they've abducted Stinger.
Honestly, Daisy, it's always the same with you. Aliens, aliens, aliens. And then it turns out it's just Venus, refracted through swamp gas on a misty night during an aborted satellite launch when stealth bombers are being tested.
Besides, Dr. Zeitgeist, what sort of aliens would bother to abduct young Stinger? Surely they would have picked someone more interesting. For example, young Sengar down at the supermarket checkout. That fine bone structure, that girl.
Ooh, there's that weird blue light again. What is Ron up to?
Yes, I often ask myself the same question. He hasn't come out of the dome in at least 20 years, and nobody else has ever set foot inside there.
Well, shouldn't we go and talk to him? Maybe he knows what's happened to Stinger.
And if he doesn't, maybe he knows what's become of my chocolate eclairs.
What? Have they gone missing too?
Yes. Dashed queer coincidence, wouldn't you say?
Well now, this is serious. We have got to find those eclairs.
Watch the skies.
Well, Hadrian, we've been standing outside Ron's door for half an hour now and we're no further forward. I wish for once he'd just unlock it and come out to talk to us.
He might at least come up with a simpler means of communication than projecting shadow puppets through the keyhole onto this wall.
It is a little hard to decipher, even for one schooled in the shadow puppet traditions of the mountain kingdom of Bhutan. Plus, Ron is being unusually evasive.
So what can this latest shadow picture mean?
It looks like a kangaroo trying to mate with a parasol.
Well, my penumbral interpretation is a bit rusty, but I believe this tableau represents the young dog who guards the gates of heaven, leaving his post to seek a bowl of rice in the village of the artisans.
It does?
Yes. Ron appears to be suggesting that young Stinger has strolled down to the village for a snack at Mrs. McNulty's tea room.
Ha! It would be just like him thinking of his stomach instead of us. I mean, look at my hair. No, don't look at my hair. It's terrible.
Indeed. I am afraid young Stinger has ignored his duties in order to indulge his base animal desires.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Hadrian. He's gone to get a sandwich, not dive into the flesh pots of Babylon.
Annabelle?
Oh, really, Daisy, it's just an expression. Well, it is for most people.
Anyway, we need to get on his trail before it goes cold.
If you are quite finished, gentlemen. In this emergency situation, we must avail ourselves of the official saddle transport facilities. Quick, to the bike shed.
Watch the skies.
Well, it looks like Mrs. McNulty's been doing some serious redecorating of the tea room.
If you ask me, it's about time the old bat tried to brighten up the place. Not that I think much of her new decor, but at least those awful paintings of grouse have gone.
Yes, I always found those strangely disturbing, especially the ones in hats. But I'm not sure all those microphones, cables and amplifiers create the right ambience for a pot of Earl Grey and a plate of bourbon creams.
You know, I don't think this is even a tea room anymore. I think it's been turned into a...
Quiet in the studio, please. Cue music and... Action!
Positronic Oven Productions present Watch the Sky, the continuing radio adventures of four plucky boffins tasked with defending the Earth from alien invasion. Let's join Egghead Professor Hadrian Spruit in his basement lab as he answers an important phone call from the Ministry.
Me? Whatever does he mean?
Why, yes, Minister. I understand that this phone call from you is indeed very important. And now that it's finished, I'm going to hang up the phone and gather the team together. There, that's the phone hung up. And here comes my young assistant, Poppy Zeitgeist, through the door now.
Hello, Prof. I got your message on the long-distance etherwave communicator.
Ooh, I recognise that girl playing me. She did those adverts for that ethical butter substitute I like. I'm quite flattered, actually.
Hush, Dr. Zeitgeist. Let us see how this weird drama plays out. It may contain some clues to what lies behind these strange goings-on.
Poppy, have you seen any sign of Mr. Douglas Stinger?
No, Prof. He seems to have mysteriously vanished. Mysteriously?
Well, we're going to need all the help we can get for this important assignment I have just been given. Over the telephone, which I've just hung up.
Don't worry, Prof. Look! Here comes Annabelle. Now!
Move out of the way, Daisy. I want to see who they've got playing me. I'll bet it isn't just some ethical substitute girl.
Oh, hello there, Prof. Heidi, hi, Poppy. Aye, that's me, Annabelle, just back from the International Space Station. What a day it's been.
Mrs. McNulty? Oh, no, this is too much.
So, Annabelle, what have you been up to up there for the past 3 weeks?
Oh, you know me. I've been experimenting to find out how many different ways you can do it in zero gravity.
Oh, Annabelle, you are just shameless.
Oh, Poppy, you know fine well I was talking about making dumplings.
You know, I've a good mind to go over there and ram that microphone down her scrawny throat, the old hag.
No, Annabelle, don't interfere. We can't be sure what the consequences may be if we interact with these fictional versions of ourselves.
You're right, Professor. There's something disturbingly surreal about all of this.
Now, ladies, the Minister has just called me on the telephone with important but tragic news. A Russian satellite, codenamed Yogi, is falling out of orbit and is going to crash in the middle of Leeds, causing untold devastation.
How's that a tragedy?
Oh. This is dashed queer. But what's even queerer is that, as we've been standing here, I've been tuning my pocket radio complete with earpiece in an attempt to access Gardner's question time. But what I have stumbled upon is even more disturbing.
Woman's hour?
No, even worse. Follow me through into this convenient side room and I'll let you listen in. Now listen to this.
Hi, Doug Stinger here. My pet hate is definitely stick insects.
That's him! That's Stinger!
Exactly, Dr. Zeitgeist. But in some context that has no connection with Mount McCabre.
I mean, look at them lying there. Find
out, hat stand. There's that interference again. So much for digital radio.
Why was Doogie talking about himself on this radio show? I mean, he's not remotely interesting.
I admit I'm both baffled and confused. And you know what I always do when I'm baffled and confused.
Lie down in a darkened room and listen to some very loud organ music?
What? No, not that. We must return to the Institute and consult once more with Ron. He always seems to be well informed about what's really going on.
Yes, I remember he knew exactly where to find those missing pictures from my Fox's luscious lingerie photo shoot.
Yes. No idea how they got there. Anyway, come along, gentlemen. Back to the Institute.
Watch the sky.
Here we are back inside the Institute. By the sizzling sombrero of Sartor, everything here has
changed. Yes, just like Mrs. McNulty's tea room. Except this time the Institute has been transformed into a
television studio. Also, I've noticed that we're now finishing each other's
sentences. Yes, most peculiar. Anyway, just look at all this. Cameras, Mac projection screens, sound booms.
And look at that poster. Watch the Skies, an exciting new adventure series in Panoscope and 3D colour.
Yes, but where are the actors playing us?
I believe that's them over there on that table, Annabelle.
Where? What? Those aren't actors, those are puppets.
Yes, but isn't that true of all actors, Annabelle?
Well, according to that sign on the back wall, the whole thing is being filmed in hyper-puppetation, whatever that is.
Superior woodcrafting skills, I must say. And mine does bear a rather flattering resemblance to the young Sean Connery.
Yes, I'm sure he's very flattered. And I suppose this one is meant to be me, with the leather miniskirt and sequined top.
The hair does look quite convincing, by which, of course, I mean unnatural.
Look over there! Models of all the vehicles they're using in the show. Look! There's a flying submarine! An armoured hovercraft! A space interceptor and, oh, they have a moon base. Oh,
never mind the toys, Daisy. Look at the mess they've made of my puppet. She looks like an extra from EastEnders. And yours, well, they've dressed you in a silver jumpsuit and they've given you curves.
Ooh, it is a bit pneumatic, isn't it?
In the corner here are a pair of Lizardman puppets, presumably this week's dastardly villains. And yet there is no sign of young Stinger. Where is his puppet?
I don't know. Probably fell asleep somewhere, unless they've used him for firewood.
The professor is right, Annabelle. Something very odd is going on. It's as if we're somehow coexisting with fictional versions of ourselves.
Yes, and in this TV version, young Stinger has been written out of the show altogether.
He probably asked for a pay rise, or a new deal with no strings. I know how hard they are to get.
But wait, a thought occurs. Here in my pocket is a ministry-issue Android tablet in which are stored all of the Institute's personnel files. I'll check and see if any of them feature young Stinger. If only I could remember my password.
It's Valhalla, Professor, with an exclamation mark at the end. It's on that poster behind your desk.
Well, why, so it is. Ah, here we are. An audio recording of preliminary employment interview for Douglas Stinger.
Is it okay if I smoke in here?
You smoke, Mr. Stinger?
Oh, no, never have. But I like to know where the boundaries are, you know?
Well, you can't.
Well, that's him, all right. So at least we know he exists.
Fast forward to the end, Professor. What was the outcome?
Well, thank you for coming in today, Mr. Stinger. But I'm afraid your projected through life skills don't adequately interface with our standardized job profile. So I'm afraid we won't be taking your application any further at this time. But rest assured, your secret is safe with us.
What secret? I told you, I'm an orphan.
Of course you are.
Very suggestive. It would appear that in this version of Sado, young Stinger failed the job interview.
But Hadrian, do you realise what that means? It means that any of us could be written out. Even me.
Who the devil are you people? And what have you done with young Nobby?
I am Professor Hadrian Sproot, and I am in charge of this establishment. Who the devil are you?
Oh, come on, Hadrian. He's obviously one of the crew.
Crew? What crew? We're underboard a submarine infiltrating the Soviet Baltic Fleet, are we?
No! This is the Mount McCabre Space Science Institute. Sort of. And we work here.
Space science, eh? Yet you don't sound like Bolsheviks. Although from this window I can see the weather does look like Siberia. Well, in blue blazes, are we?
The Cairngorms.
The Cairngorms? You mean I'm in Scotland? Hell's teeth, this is even worse than I thought.
Look, who are you? I mean, apart from being a handsome hunk in an expensive suit with a very suggestive bulge.
Annabelle!
Under his jacket, Daisy, he's obviously wearing a shoulder holster.
Never set foot outside without me trusty .455 calibre Webley Mark VI revolver. The sidearm of choice for the chap who means business. The name's Standish. Jack Standish. MI-12 Special Intelligence Division.
What now?
MI-12 Special Intelligence Division. You can call us SID.
Is this some sort of Star Wars reference that I'm not getting?
Jack Standish, Special Agent. I used to listen to your radio show when I was a boy.
Radio show? What radio show?
We present Miles Davenant as Jack Standish, the British Lion, in Standish by Me, episode 12. British Super Agent Jack Standish and his young assistant Nobby have fallen into the clutches
of... All right, that's enough of that. We get the picture.
And I had all the books of his two-fisted adventures. Last Man Standish, Standish Room Only, Standish and Becunty.
You're raving, man. Have you been drugged?
You were a fictional hero to the young lads of my generation, Standish, protecting the people, the values and above all the territory of the British Empire.
Well, that certainly sounds like me. But all my exploits were top secret, not fodder for some juvenile comic.
A fictional hero, Professor.
Are you saying he's not real?
I'm afraid not, Dr. Zeitgeist. He's a work of fiction.
Damn it, man, I'm standing before you in the flesh.
Yes, and top quality flesh too.
It's as though reality was spinning off spontaneous fictions as the multiple brains of M-Space resonate with some unknown vibrations.
Talk sense, man. Look, would it help if I shot somebody?
Mr. Standish, do you recall how you arrived at this establishment?
Having the foggiest, old man. Last thing I remember was I was in Chipping Sodbury with my faithful Batman Nobby Clark investigating... Well, best not say. All very hush-hush. Walked through a door in an abandoned RAF hangar and here I am. And where the hell is young Nobby?
If this gets any more like a David Lynch film, I'm simply going to scream.
Tell me, Standish, what date do you think this is?
What kind of a damn fool question is that? It's June 22nd, 1953, of course. Churchill is Prime Minister once again and we've just crowned a lovely new queen a few weeks ago. I tell you, the British Empire is bouncing back.
Professor, Chipping Sodbury, 1953. That was the site of the mysterious incident that led to the founding of the Space Alien Defence Organisation. An incident that was the subject of the greatest cover-up in UK history.
Yes, Dr. Zeitgeist, a most concise recap. And 1953 was the very same year that the Jack Standish radio show began.
Have you people been brainwashed by the bullshit, or perhaps you've been indulging in some potent Chinese opiates?
I think I can explain, Standish, at least partially.
Then you'd better strap in, Jack. It's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride.
You see, Jack, I suspect that originally you were real. Then you weren't. And now you are. Temporarily, at least.
Now don't talk rot, man. Of course I'm real.
In a sense, yes. But the principles of quantum entanglement, coupled with the pre-collapse wave function, would all suggest that there possibly... yes, it is a bit of a bumpy ride.
There's that swirling nimbus of blue energy again.
And that noise I heard in the abandoned hangar.
What is that?
We've covered all that, Daisy. It's the noise from the dome that accompanies those inexplicable power fluctuations.
No, not that. That! Outside! See? Through the window!
Baldur's bathtub! Either the swamp gas is overactive today, or that is a flying saucer.
And it's landing behind the Institute!
Quick, everyone, outside! We must wave them away before they ruin my croaky lawn. Come, Standish, we may need you to shoot something.
Watch the skies.
I knew it had to be aliens behind all this.
Oh, please, Daisy. You say that every time a high-altitude weather balloon drifts overhead during a lunar eclipse.
Actually, Dr. Zeitgeist, if you look closely, you'll see that saucer is just a clever plywood mock-up held aloft by a pair of cranes.
And who are all these blighters armed with cameras and sound equipment? Looks to me like a gigantic hoax designed to destabilise the Empire.
You know, I think it's a...
Quiet on the set, please. We're about to roll and watch the skies, scene 47. The climactic alien landing.
Well, at least now we're a big budget film and not some tat radio programme or a puppet show.
I'm afraid that's not such good news, Annabelle. Reality seems to be constantly readjusting itself, and we're no closer to understanding why.
Ooh, look at the production notes on this clipboard. I'm being played by Scarlett Johansson. What?
So who have they got playing me? Meryl Streep? She's a bit past it, isn't she?
Gentlemen, focus. Our main concern right now should be the following. If in this adjusted reality we exist as fictional characters, then why do we also still exist as us? By the way, who's playing me?
Bad news there, Hadrian. It's Ray Winston.
Oi, leave it at! If that chap's not a communist, I'm a Dutchman.
Lights, sound, rail cameras, and action!
Okay, folks, the three of you stand well back and leave this to me, Dirk Tungsten.
Of course, Dirk. You are our security chief after all.
That I am, Poppy. Whoa! Watch out for the zombification rays, Prof.
Dirk, it's time to use the oversized plasma cannon you have tucked under your arm. Stay back, Annabelle.
Yeah, Dirk, you give it to them, big boy.
Hey, aliens, get the hell off of my lawn, or I'll blast your asses all the way back to the Antares Nebula.
Oh, who wrote this awful dialogue? George Lucas? You're right, Annabelle. There's no such place as the Antares Nebula.
Professor Spoon, now, you seem a pretty bright sort of chap. Have you any clue what's going on here?
Well, Standish, if I were to construct a fanciful theory from a handful of contradictory facts, I might speculate that Ron has created some means of gazing backwards through time in order to view those mysterious events at Chipping Sudbury.
But how is that possible, Professor? I mean, it's hard enough just putting it into a sentence.
Imagine, Dr. Zeitgeist, that Ron is a glass blower, blowing down a tube, creating a glass bubble at the end of that tube. Mr. Standish here was trapped inside that bubble and removed from the normal flow of spatio-temporal reality.
Trapped in a bubble, eh? Then I'll just have to shoot my way out of here!
For heaven's sake, Jack, if you must cock your pistol, at least be careful where you're pointing it.
The glass bubble is just an analogy, Mr. Standish. Our plight is a metaphysical one that cannot be undone by shooting off some bullets.
Maybe not, Prof. But it would make me feel a damn sight better.
Of course, Professor. And if Ron accidentally created another bubble on our side and we were trapped in it...
Then we too would be removed from the spatio-temporal continuum and to resolve all the consequent paradoxes...
Reality would create fictional echoes of us all in order to paper over the cracks. Oh, it's all so obvious.
I never thought I'd say this, but... Wouldn't this be better as a PowerPoint presentation?
Wait! If this is all Ron's doing, he and his dome may still exist in some form. Back inside, everyone, and we'll try to find him.
Watch the sky!
I say, the inside of this place has changed completely. It's turned into some sort of picture house.
Yes, it's been transformed into a state-of-the-art multiplex.
Oh, look at this poster on the wall. Watch the Skies 5. Watch harder.
Well, at least we generated a few sequels.
By Jove, there's a poster here for a film called Saffron Star, Queen of Outer Space. Well, I must say, if that risque outfit is anything to go by, she must be a jolly game sort of a girl.
Well, I'm quite sure that she's engaged in the very serious business of defending the human race against all manner of cosmic threats, and that her costume is entirely practical for a future spacefarer.
Dr. Zeitgeist, observe that stairway up ahead. With any luck, that would lead us up into the dome, in whatever form that still exists in this reality. You and I will head up there in search of Ron. Annabelle, you and Mr. Standish had better remain here in the foyer.
Whatever for, Hadrian?
In case I'm wrong and those steps merely lead us to oblivion.
Oblivion, Professor? I don't care for the sound of that.
No. Off you go, Daisy. I'm quite happy to stay here and keep Jack company.
I must caution you and Mr. Standish to keep your distance from each other, Annabelle. We have no conception of what may occur if your two different realities come into contact with each other.
Oh, honestly, Hadrian, isn't a girl allowed to have any fun?
Watch the sky!
That was quite a climb, Professor.
Yes, but here we are at last in the upper balcony.
And just look at the size of that 3D IMAX screen.
It appears that this is the final scene of the ultimate Watch the Sky sequel. The aliens have been defeated and the ground is littered with the smoking wreckage of their spacecraft.
Look, the actor playing the security chief and the actress playing Annabelle are congratulating each other. And now that, oh my, how did this get past the censor?
No call for prudery, Dr. Zeitgeist. They are merely enacting humanity's time-honoured method of celebrating triumph over the enemy, or a victory in the Ryder Cup.
Well, it's a bit steamy, if you ask me.
But wait, don't you see? This is the very clue we've been looking for. Even in this altered reality, Ron has found a way to communicate with us.
What are they doing now? Oh, surely that can't be comfortable for either of them.
Come, we must rejoin our companions and share this new information with them.
Watch the sky!
So there I was, bound hand and foot and dangling from the Graf Zeppelin, with the Himalayas 5,000 feet below and this damn Bolshevik ice queen above me sawing at me rope.
Do go on, Jack. I'm breathless with excitement.
Well, I dislocated me thumbs, I slipped me hands through the knots, standard spy stuff, really.
And then?
And then one of the Tartar's henchmen opened up on me with a Tommy gun. So obviously there was only one thing to do.
Obviously.
I let go of the rope and plunged down toward the jagged peaks below.
But how on earth did you survive?
Well, naturally, I always had a parachute and a big dinner jacket. Glided down to a Buddhist monastery where they gave me a cup of tea and taught me how to cloud men's minds.
I must say, Jack, you've got me rather excited with your tales of derring do. Come on, why don't we find out just how real you are? I'm sure everything is in perfect working order.
Steady, Belle. Remember the Prof's words of caution.
Oh, he's just a stick in the mud. Surely you don't believe all that nonsense about colliding realities. Next you'll be telling me you think Tom Cruise's teeth are real.
Ah, Standish, Annabelle. Thank Fafner you're still here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Hadrian. Can't we have any privacy?
Annabelle, you won't believe what we've just seen upstairs. I don't think I'll get a wink of sleep tonight.
What are you talking about, Daisy?
Leaving aside the anatomical details, startling as they are, it was a message from Ron offering us a way out of this predicament.
Professor, not by doing that, surely.
No, Dr. Zeitgeist. Allow me to revisit my earlier analogy of the glassblower.
Actually, Hadrian, I had in mind a very different kind of...
Please, Annabelle, let the professor explain.
As I was saying, Ron's probe through time created a tube with bubbles at either end, one containing Mr. Standish from 1953 and the other containing us from the present day.
Sounds like Tommyrot to me, Prof. I'm betting that if I can lay my hands on a bazooka, we can blast our way out of this mess.
I don't think it will improve our situation to reduce the whole building to rubble.
I don't see any harm in letting Jack shoot off his bazooka.
Gentlemen, if I might continue. What Ron indicated to us, rather graphically, is that the solution is to bring the two ends of the tube together, thus forming a Möbius loop that will snap reality back into its proper configuration.
But, Prof, I distinctly remember you warning us against any such close-quarters hobnobbing.
I'm not saying it's without risks, but it's either that, or be reduced to forgotten nonentities exiled forever into an empty limbo.
You mean like the ITV breakfast show?
I think what the professor means is that one of us has to come into close contact with Jack Standish.
Well, if it's up close and personal you want, I'm your girl. Right, Jack, get stripped for action. You two had better look the other way.
Yes, I think I've seen quite enough of that sort of thing for one day.
Actually, Annabelle, according to the calculations I've scribbled hastily in the back of this ticket stub, all that's needed is a kiss.
Is that all? Oh, well then, let's go.
Are you sure about this, Prof? It all sounds a bit rum to me.
I'm quite sure, Mr. Standish. And there's no time to lose. We might all be shunted completely out of reality at any moment.
Come on then, big boy, pucker up.
Oh, the things I do for Queen and Country.
Yes, yes, quickly now. Let reality be your byword.
Wow, that was some... Jack... Jack!
He's just vanished.
And observe, we are no longer in the theatre lobby. We are back in our usual surroundings at Mount McCabe.
The peeling wallpaper, the Formica tables. We're definitely back home again.
And look, there's a light on in young Stinger's office.
Well, come on then.
Watch the sky.
So, we meet at last.
You're not Doogie.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you, Professor Sproot, Annabelle, Poppy. The Ministry gave me a full briefing on this operation of yours.
You seem to have the advantage of us, young man.
No. Didn't you get the memo? I'm your new head of security. The name's Standish. Darren Standish.
Standish? I don't suppose you're any relation to Jack Standish.
Why, yes. I'm his grandson. He worked for the government too, but it was all sort of terribly hush-hush.
But what's happened to Stinger?
Checking the personnel files on my handy Android, it appears Douglas Stinger never joined SADO. No doubt a consequence of his being outside the spatio-temporal bubble that enveloped the three of us.
Then what's become of him, Hadrian?
Oh, I expect he's been switched onto an entirely different career path.
Are you saying we'll never see him again?
Damned if I know, Dr. Zeitgeist. But a chap like Stinger does have a habit of turning up when he's least expected.
Look, I've no idea what you fellas are waffling on about, but I'm as keen as mustard to get started. What's our first mission, Prof?
Oh, just you wait, young Stinger. Standish. Just you wait.
Well, in the meantime, I've brought along this box of chocolate eclairs. Would anyone care for one?
Why, thank you, Darren. You know, I think you're going to fit right in.
Watch the skies!
So, Doug Stinger, here you are, the founder and president of Dougster, one of the world's most successful computer games companies. And now your latest release is Lasertooth, in which mutant piranhas are used to repulse an alien invasion of the Earth.
If I was an alien, that would scare the willies out of me.
Protecting the Earth from an alien threat, the screwiest crew that you ever met. Up a mountain with a telescope, it better work.
Watch the Skies is a Quantum Fridge production, written, produced, and ineptly directed by Bob Harris and Alan McFadden, and brought to life by the Peak Performance Players with Claire Fulton as Poppy Zeitgeist, Al Reeve as Doug Stinger, Laura Stewart as Annabelle Fox, Chris McLaughlin as Professor Sprout, John Mitchell as Jack Standish, and John Mitchell as Darren Standish. Other voices and background distractions were provided by whatever hangers-on were looking busy at the time.
The Watch the Skies theme song is performed by the Shrunks.
The fundamental fabric of reality was not ruptured during the making of this programme, just stretched a bit.
Da-da, little green man, son of no rider, invaders from Mars, better keep away. No alien blobs, gonna ruin our day.
Watch the Skies.
Aliens are coming, 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 aliens
are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming,